It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If? Only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for giving me a listen. As we speak, the WWE pay-per-view of Stomping Grounds is going on, so I actually haven't really seen much of what's happening. I'll be watching it tomorrow, so hopefully I don't see any spoilers on the other side of this tomorrow morning. But welcome to the show, and this is the Wrestling Nostalgia portion of the show, and today I'm going to be reviewing a What If. And that What If is, what if WWE went back to TV-14? And as unlikely as you may think it may be, I will provide a case for it and let you guys debate it and let me know what you think. Do you really believe the WWE would ever go back to it? Do you want to see it? Why do you want to see it? Or maybe you're cool with TVPG. So I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But before I do, guys, always want to thank those of you who are first-time listeners and, of course, the long-time listeners of this podcast because you guys make this show successful. You guys make it what it is. And as always, I do genuinely thank you, everybody, for listening to this show. As I said, this is just the beginning. Lots of cool stuff coming. And if you haven't checked out the website, by the way, do it. WWEPodcast.com. That's WWEPodcast.com. Pretty easy to remember. And a lot of cool stuff on there. I'm getting contributions from several different writers multiple times a week regarding past items they'd like to discuss, current items, everything from Lars Sullivan to Brock Lesnar as the Money in the Bank winner. Lots of different stuff. I make a case for Shane McMahon as the best in the world. And is he actually the best in the world? Is there any truth to that? I have an article up there. So give my website a look. A lot of time, effort, and resources were put into that website to get it completely revamped and updated for 2019 standards. So I hope you enjoy it. Of course, there's always room for improvement, and the site will get more content as we move along. But right now, it's a little bit in its infancy stages, but every day it's gathering more steam, more momentum, and adding more content for you guys. And so let me know what you think. Send me any kind of feedback you have at the WWE Podcast Twitter, or you can send it to me on email. It's the real WWE Podcast at gmail.com is the address. So let's take a look at the possibility of WWE going back to TV-14. Now, before anybody comes out here and says it'll never happen, they have too many sponsors, the society is super soft right now, everybody's super sensitive, it won't happen, they have too many charitable organizations that they are a part of, Susan G. Komen and Anti-Bullying, and Connor the Crusher, and the V Foundation, all these lovely, wonderful charities that WWE is a part of, and that it will never happen. So, while all valid points, I want everybody to put that aside right now. Put it aside, and let's take a walk down Fantasy Drive. And let me just, for the record, say I personally don't think this would happen. But in a business that you never say never, I always like to explore the options because it's such a divisive topic among fans, particularly those who have lived through the Attitude Era and just are yearning for the days of old and remember all of the violence and the raunchiness that was the Attitude Era. Yet some people may make the argument that it's not that type of and style of television that drew ratings, that it was because of the stars and it was because of the all-star roster that WWE had at the time. So let's talk about, number one, when WWE went PG from their TV-14 debut that happened in, I believe it was 97, when WWE went 14, and then they went back to TV-PG on, hold on, I have the exact date here, I did look it up, on July 22nd, 2008, WWE went back to PG. And so we're coming up on the 11th anniversary of WWE being TV-PG. let's look at the reasons why they did it. First and foremost, they were in a slump. They read the tea leaves and said, hey, we don't have that all-star roster anymore. TV-14 is not getting it done, on top of the fact that we need more revenue with the lack of star power that we have. Let's open up our business and our viewership to a wider audience. And that's exactly what they did. And you really can't fault WWE for doing that at the time. It's a smart business decision, regardless of what the hardcore fans may say, that TV-14 is the best because of the violence and the sex. It's a smart business decision to get your eyeballs in front of as many viewers as possible and to get it in a position in which you are creating the next generation of fans. What I mean by that is, once you re-educate the audience that WWE is a family-friendly show, to some extent, and that takes time and did take time, you are then creating the next generation of fan by allowing the parents that allow their children to watch wrestling then become fans themselves. And it's a smart business decision to do that. So I totally understand that they would have wanted to go this way, and that, you know, they can't just placate to the hardcore fans that loved the violence and the sex and not consider the long term here. It's a smart business decision. It was, and it has proved fruitful. They've forged relationships with companies. They have indeed changed the image and re-educated the casual fan and the hardcore fan that, hey, we are here to stay. We are a softer product. The blood, the guts, the sex, and the violence are gone, but, you know, we're going to still try to tell compelling stories. And that's the ideology behind it. And I can't fault WWE for taking that way. Even if at times I get frustrated with how childish and cartoonish and ridiculous some of the segments are, and sometimes when they could have a curse word or any kind of profanity, they choose the latter because it would violate TVPG, and the promo would then and thus becomes a little less edgy and a little less believable. As I said, with the slogan for Stomping Grounds, I'm surprised they didn't change it to Kicking Butt and Taking Names. I think I said that before, but I mean, if they did that, I mean, that kind of stuff would be absolutely ridiculous. But I think there were times where WWE went a little too far with TVPG and almost became TVG, and they pulled back. And, you know, there are times when they also kind of crossed the line of PG and, you know, say curse words that are like, that's not hell damn crap. That's, you know, a little bit, it's a level higher. And so it's interesting that sometimes they will approach that. And of course, when you look at the Royal Rumble this past year, when Nia Jax injected herself into the Royal Rumble, men's Royal Rumble match, which, don't get me going on that. I seriously will go on a rant that you could have a female competitor just inexplicably decide to take somebody out and then come into the ring and, oh, automatically they're a competitor. There's no referee to say, hey, you're not a dude, so you need to leave this match. It's absolutely just ridiculous. So, see, I'm already starting to rant. I promised I wouldn't, and then I do. But you had her enter the match and then attack some of the male competitors, ultimately ending with an RKO, a super kick, and I don't know, some other finisher that she took, and ended up getting eliminated from the men's Royal Rumble match. So when you guys listen to my open in my normal shows that I have, which, by the way, I'm recording Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's my schedule. So I'm taking Monday, Fridays, and Saturdays off, just so you guys have a bit of an idea of what my schedule is. So Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's the days you guys will be able to listen to me four times a week. So, when I have it in my open that what is the problem with having a man attack a woman in a fantasy environment? Well, I'm not for domestic violence. Never have been. But there are times in which retaliation is completely acceptable in a fantasy environment. And Randy Orton and company responded accordingly at the Royal Rumble. She should have gotten an RKO. She should have never gotten any offense, to be honest with you. But she did, and she got eliminated. So there are times when it's warranted, unlike the consistent female manager or whoever, girlfriend, slapping a opponent's competitor, and they're just supposed to stand there and take it or give them a mean face when nothing's going to actually happen. So I'm not a fan of that, never have been. It's always been a sticking point with me, a problem with me. Stephanie McMahon is at the front of that line. How many times has she smacked, Mick Foley, Kurt Angle, with no retaliation, The Rock at WrestleMania 31, and yeah, he had to get Ronda Rousey. And side note, do you guys remember that? We all remember that. That was one of the highlights of WrestleMania with The Rock and Ronda Rousey before Ronda became a official WWE competitor. And The Rock, after he got slapped by Stephanie McMahon and Triple H is out there, The Rock looked directly at Stephanie and said, you know, I'd never hit a woman. Really? Really? I can bring up a few videos that would say otherwise, Rock. How many times did you rock bottom Stephanie McMahon? I'm thinking of two in my head. One at WrestleMania 16 when he got screwed over by the McMahons when there was a McMahon in every corner. And The Rock ended up losing to Triple H. And he ended up rock bottoming Stephanie McMahon, who's wearing a very flashy pink top. I remember it because I was so excited that Stephanie finally got her ass whooped. And then at No Mercy 2000 in October in Albany, New York. You know how I know that? Because I was there. And I was going insane. And he ended up rock bottoming Stephanie McMahon. So those are just a couple of examples that are completely contrary to The Rock's statements at WrestleMania 31. When he said that, I'm like, okay, well, no, you, The Rock of the TV PG era would not hit a woman. But again, I don't understand how just females can go around slapping everyone and thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. In the real world, you want to get to the real world? That could be classified as assault. So in the fantasy land in which nothing would matter anyway, we have to be concerned about, what are our sponsors going to think? There'll be backlash. But in the real world, a man could have that woman arrested. I'm not for the man beating her to a pulp. I'm not saying that. That is not what I am saying. And I do not believe that that is okay at all. That's not my case. My case is that there's got to be some kind of retaliation, some kind of repercussions for that action. And there's just nothing in WWE. Nothing. Nia Jax, okay, outside of that one incident, there was nothing. So that is the problem that I have. And when you look at the PG era, how many times did Stone Cold, he attacked? Let me go down the line of the women. That's off the top of my head that Stone Cold has stunned. Molly Holly. Stephanie McMahon, Mae Young, it was a redneck triathlon against Eric Bischoff, and Mae Young wanted to give him a Bronco Buster or something, and he decided to give her a stunner. I mean, Stacy Keibler. Did I say Stephanie McMahon? Maybe not. If I did it, I didn't. I don't know. Stephanie is on that list, and I think he stunned Stephanie. I can count three times. One, before his match with Triple H at No Way Out 2001 in a 2 out of 3 falls. The second time was, I believe, at the homecoming to Raw of USA Network in 2005 when he stunned the entire McMahon family. And did I say three? Oh boy, I'm losing my mind tonight. I can't think of a third. I thought he stunned Stephanie three times. But all of them were brilliant. I mean... Were some of them warranted? I don't know. But you know what? The crowd popped. They're doing something right. Oh, and China. Add China to that list. There's another. When you look at that, but Austin was, outside of Molly Holly, the babyface in all of those. And the crowd lost their minds every single time. So, again, those people are still alive today. I was one of them cheering. I thought it was awesome. And a lot of the stuff, when Stephanie McMahon got stunned, she deserved it because she slapped Austin. She slapped Austin and then said, bragged about it. And Austin came out and, dropped her right on her neck. just, it's great stuff. I loved it. I loved it. But back to the TVPG, again, WWE would be way too fearful to be able to go back into that 14 environment, not just for losing sponsors, but losing a lot of the audience in which families make it a family event. And I believe there are some out there. I've spoken with some. I've had people on this show that make it a family event. And I think that in today's society that is a super soft snowflake, everyone's a victim mentality, which is unfortunate, but it's true. You would have a lot of backlash from people who are just in that scenario. And if I was a parent, though, I mean, I'm putting myself in the shoes, and I am a parent. And if my son, who will be a wrestling fan, bank on it, and I will train him to boo Roman Reigns. He will not like any of the white meat babyface, soft, corporately packaged and produced stars. So don't you worry. But my son is only 1 year old. But if he was, say, 5, 6, 7, 8, and he was like, "Hey, Dad, I want to watch wrestling," and he watched Monday and Tuesday nights, whatever, and then WWE decided to suddenly go TV-14 and bring in, you know, scantily clad women, which would never happen today, and I don't want to see it today. I'm not about the sexual element of TV-14. Look, like, if I wanted to see something of that level, there's something called the internet. And there's stuff on the internet that you could get at a much better bargain and more bang for your buck. Let me just leave it at that. So I was never a part of that. But I'm talking about, say, the violence and the language, right? And all of a sudden they just sprung it on us that next week WWE is returning to TV-14. I would be concerned. As a parent, you should be. If you're not, you may want to take a look in the mirror. Because you should be caring about the content your kids are watching. So if they suddenly went TV-14, I would probably preview the product myself to see how far they did go, if there was anything that would be, I think, detrimental to him and he probably shouldn't see. And then I would make a decision on my own. But I would think that I probably would not let him watch wrestling anymore if they did do that. So, and that's not just, I don't think that's just me who believes that. And the problem with that is monetarily, you're looking at this from a business perspective, you would lose not just me as the parent, you would also lose the child who is asking the parent, the real consumer, for merchandise and t-shirts and I was going to say DVDs, but that's not even a thing anymore. But you'd be having the real consumer who's watching this product every week now not able to watch it and then thus not invested anymore. So that is a number one reason I don't think it'll happen, but I'm trying to build a case as to why. So we'll get there. I'm just bringing down the reasons first as to, you know, what would happen if WWE did do TV-14, what would be the repercussions? So number one, you'd lose kids, okay? You'd lose kids and thus turn parents off. And there'd be another Moms Against WWE Twitter handle or whatever. Which, by the way, guys, there was or is, I don't know anymore, a Moms Against WWE, I don't know, as a movement or something. It's so ridiculous and preposterous that moms are concerned about WWE. And this is after TVPG was implemented, when there are a zillion other things out there that are way more detrimental in terms of TV content than WWE. And furthermore, you probably should just, be a parent. Be a freaking parent and monitor what your kids are watching. I don't know, just a thought. Crazy thought. Y'all got nothing better to do than try to organize a movement against WWE programming, which went nowhere. It's moronic. So, but again, I would be fully concerned about that as a parent letting my young child see a TV-14 product, and I probably would pull it from him. So detrimental from that standpoint, and you would also lose that next generation of fans potentially. The number two reason that WWE would not go back to a TV-14 era, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier before, is their sponsorships. And when you look at how many sponsorships and sponsors and affiliations with other businesses that WWE has, they would likely lose a significant percentage of those. I don't have an exact percentage, but you can absolutely bank on it that WWE would indeed lose revenue from those sponsors. And you know, when you look at the days of, oh my gosh, what was the big one in WWE that I constantly saw a sponsorship for? And it wasn't just like before matches or Jim Ross mentioning it. It was also like commercials before Raw went back on the air. All this. Oh, it was Castrol GTX. You guys remember Castrol GTX is like the official sponsor of WWE. I think Skittles was another big one. Stacker 2. Some of the old ones that just were, I mean, they must have paid a fortune to be in mentioned that often in WWE. So, but let's take a look at the stats here. Let's get some hard numbers on this. And when WWE went public, or I'm sorry, went PG, they posted a 30% year-over-year increase in sponsorship in revenue in 2017, and a fourfold increase in revenue since 2010, according to sponsorship.com. So they went PG in 2008, but these are more recent stats, obviously referencing 2017, and a fourfold since 2010. So they've partnered with, let's see, KFC, Snickers, Cricket Wireless. When you look at all of those sponsors, I mean, they are big names, and you really need to be careful. If you are going to be changing the content of the product, then you're essentially changing the contract that you have with that sponsor. And I doubt that they would be on board for wanting to be affiliated or associated with content that is super edgy. So again, their revenue stream would likely decrease. You may find some that would actually approach WWE, while a lot would leave. And, but I don't think it would be enough to offset the revenue loss that they are currently bringing in, especially with that third hour of Raw, which is nothing more than another hour to fill to put more ad revenue on television, for them to generate more ad revenue via television for that extra hour. It's nothing more than one big infomercial attempt for the additional hour. I mean, that's all it is. That's all it is to make sure that they meet the Wall Street's goals and projections, and that they can put more numbers on sheets that people who have they've never met or spoken to are happy with their growth. I mean, that's it. It's money. It's the only reason there's the third hour, and the product suffers for it. But that's a subject that is beaten to death about the third hour of Raw. So I'm going to move on here. So what are some of the cases and reasons for going back to TV-14? We've already covered two massive reasons that you would want to keep TV-PG. But what would be the case if you're going to sit in a courtroom and you had Vince McMahon as the judge, and you are sitting on the opposite end of the legal team of WWE, and you are making the case for them going back to TV-14, and why? Why should we do this? Why? What would be the benefit? Well, number one reason, I think it would increase viewership. Now, you may say, again, the argument is it's about the stars. It's not about the content or the TV rating of the program. To that, I would say yes and no. Yes, stars are what make money. They are what draw money. And WWE is implicitly admitting that they have a star problem when they have the same four people showing up on Raw and SmackDown and implement the wild card rule, which is supposed to cover the fact that their poor execution of creating new stars by having their biggest stars they can possibly get right now be put on both shows. I mean, so stars absolutely make the WWE, and they will always will. They always will. And they, WWE tries to put the brand before the superstar, or before the wrestler, excuse me, but they are suffering for that. So the biggest reason, again, would be that the creative structure and the creative freedom that the stars, the men and women would be able to have on the roster would increase tenfold, because you can do things that you never could before that had, you had a ceiling and you had to work under this little soft ceiling because we got to make sure we don't upset any of our sponsors. And now that ceiling has been raised significantly, not unlimited. I mean, there's still a ceiling with TV-14. But you have the creative freedom to now go and try new things. You know, do things that you may not have otherwise done. I mean, again, I don't want Katie Vick all over again. I don't want the sexual nature of WWE all over again. That would completely dehumanize the women and regress all of the impact and all of the progression that the women have made in WWE. I don't want that. However, a little bit of profanity now and then, and chair shots, not to the skull, because I know that's not coming back because of the research and data that we now have on the concussion epidemic that is happening right now. I mean, not just with wrestling, but in football and other high impact sports. So it's very well documented, and I'm not for that, although I really miss chair shots. I mentioned this before, and it's, can it be that hard? I'll say it again. I know, you may have some people who listen to my show before and go, oh my God, he repeats himself. But when I feel strongly about something, I say it again. That's just me. But can't they find a manufacturer with all the money that they spend on, you know, manufacturing t-shirts and belts and, you know, armbands and all this stuff? Can't they just find a manufacturer that's like, hey, can you make us a chair that's not steel? You know, it looks real. You can still sit on it carefully, but when it hits, you know, somebody's skull, I'm sure it'd be put as eloquently as that, it, you know, the impact is minimum and the effect is maximum, meaning it doesn't hurt and won't cause a concussion, but it looks cool and the chair still bends. Can't they do that? I mean, I'm not saying to go out and go to the dollar store and buy those, you know, foil, the cooking sheets, all right? Although my friends and I used to do that when we had a little hilarious wrestling group back in late high school, early college. Yeah. Maybe I'll give you guys a link to that footage sometime so you can go destroy me on YouTube. But it's out there. It's out there, trust me. But can't they just do that? I mean, it would, I think, add a little bit more of a shock value and it, when it's needed. Because how, I don't know about you, I'm getting very tired when they have a chair or there's any object whatsoever. When they could go for the head and end the match, they go for in the gut, hit in the back, right in the gut, in the back, in the gut, in the back, in the gut, in the back, back shot, back shot, back shot, back shot. And it's like, oh my God. And apparently that knocked out EC3 this past week on Raw, which is just bizarre and sad for EC3. But again, when TV-14 went out the window, so did that. But it was kind of good timing with all of the new data and everything coming out with the concussion epidemic. And rightfully so, because there are severe consequences for it. So I'm not advocating for bringing back concussions at all. I'm advocating for, if they went TV-14, to bring back a little bit of the violence. It's, as a human being, especially as a male human being, or at least that's how I identify, got to make sure I address the audience correctly, and that I'm being PC, and that this is how I identify and give you guys the correct pronoun. Oh boy, I'm not going to get political on this show. That'll be a disaster. But I really think that it's just built into the male brain to say, hey, I want to see two guys, two girls beat the holy hell out of each other. Instead of just kind of like, oh, flipping around, flying around, and there's no emotion in that sometimes. Sometimes you just, and when a rivalry really calls for it, you need that extra step of violence. I'm not saying every match. I want to be very clear. Like, I'm trying to clear up the things that you guys are probably thinking right now, but I'm not advocating for blood, guts, gore. And I'm not advocating for it often. I'm advocating for it when it's necessary and when it's when it should happen. Not just every match, it's going to be like ECW, there's, you know, flaming tables and wrapped 2x4s with barbed wire. No. I'm saying when a feud is deserving of it, they can go that extra mile and take that extra step. I wouldn't even bring it up to the level of what it was previously with TV-14. Maybe even take it down a notch. TV-14 guidelines are being modified all the time. So maybe you just kind of tweak it a bit. But sometimes that extra little bit is needed and you just want to see it, and they can't, they're handcuffed. And a little bit of blood every once in a while, hell yeah. The only time we get blood now is when it happens the hard way, and it's unfortunate. I know that, again, here's something else you guys are probably thinking of. Well, there's blood-borne diseases, and oh, it's not safe to have people's blood everywhere. Well, last I checked, it certainly worked out pretty damn well when blood was a accepted form of brutality in WWE. These guys and gals are tested on the regular, okay? They have a better system, in health and wellness system in place than ever before. So anybody who's worried about, like, you know, oh my God, what if a superstar has AIDS? I mean, like, I'm going to the extreme case. Or some kind of disease that is transmittable via blood to their opponent, or maybe accidentally gets, you know, on the referee or whatever. Is it transmittable? Well, that's why you guys get tested. Okay, they get tested regularly for drugs and whatever. So that goes out the window. But it's just a element that I miss. And sometimes I feel like I'm watching a family product and a child's product. I feel like I'm watching a child's show at times. And I don't want to feel that way. I want to feel like I'm like, hey, this is still cool to watch. And sometimes I have to force myself being like, okay, well, this was cool to watch. And there sometimes are cool moments. But a lot of times I just feel like I'm watching a child's product. And I'm still going to be a fan for life. There's nothing that will change that, and that's cool. I will continue to donate $9.99 a month into WWE's cash flow for probably the rest of my life. I mean, I will say that outright, so I will never turn my back on WWE. I won't. I mean, I challenge them, I critique them, and I slam them when I need to. But, again, I just want to say I'm a fan forever. So, I miss that element of violence. I miss it. I miss it so much, and Hell in a Cell was no better place to do it, and now it's a scheduled pay-per-view built into the WWE lineup every, I don't know, whatever, December or something. I think it's later in the year. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous that they do that. So, anyway, beyond the lust for a little bit of violence sprinkled in here and there, number two of the pro TV-14 return would be, yes, you would allow the stars, the wrestlers, the men and women to have a much higher level of creative freedom. Granted, you would also have to blow up the model of WWE micromanaging everything that's said and done on their programming, and allow stars to just be themselves and, you know, take a chance and do something and say something within reason, and see what happens. That, of course, is the other element to this. So assuming that when you implement TV-14, you also loosen up a little bit on the chokehold that WWE has on their promos and everything else, on their overproduction of things and everything else. So a lot of ifs here, right? A lot of ifs. But assuming that that happens, you would allow stars to grow naturally. You would also discover stars that you didn't know you had because you were suffocating them and hiding them inadvertently under this scripted rule, this scripted regime. And you would also, by doing that, create new stars, which is the goal. That's the goal. Creating new stars is the central key element to the success of WWE. They can put out all the films they want. They can have all the just stomach-churning, eye-rolling philanthropy ideology that they want. And Stephanie McMahon can get all excited about whatever latest relationship that she's built with, I don't know, Special Olympics or whatever silly thing that she is doing. It's almost like she feels like she's running. It just feels like Stephanie McMahon is running for office, and she just happens to work at WWE. Like, she runs the furthest you can run from being associated with a wrestling company. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Go look at her Instagram feed if you don't believe me. Go look at her Twitter feed. Go ahead. One out of every 15 to 20 tweets is about wrestling. The rest of it is, oh, I was on this TV show in Barcelona or something, or I was on the Good Morning show, or I was shaking hands with the president of the Special Olympics. Or that's what you do when you're running for office. It's so maddening. It's so maddening because that's not what WWE was built on. That's not what creates success. It's not. So you would, again, by allowing the stars to loosen up a little bit, you would create new stars. And that is the central focus. As I just said, you would have stars that approach the levels of being as big as WWE. Now, that's the problem for WWE. They don't want stars being as big or bigger than the brand. But you know what having a massive star does, or stars does, for a brand? It brings in more eyeballs. It creates new generations of fans. It encourages people to sign up for the network, which is a huge deal in WWE. It's their lifeblood right now. It also should spike ratings, which means that you get a bigger TV deal from the network that you're trying to be on. It touches every aspect of the company by getting bigger stars. That should be the sole focus of WWE, is creating new stars. Because, it again, think about any aspect of the company, how it's not indirectly or directly tied back to building big new stars all the time. It's a constant cycle. Think about that. And WWE gets so far away from that and gets lost in their own forest that they've created that they have forgotten how to build new stars. I feel like they're overproduced. I think a lot of people would agree with that they're overproduced. John Moxley would agree with that. I mean, he said it in his infamous interview a few weeks ago. They're just overproduced and they're overthinking everything and micromanaging everything. It's a terrible way and a terrible environment to be in. I would not want to be in that environment if I was a WWE, if I was a wrestler. I would not want to be in that environment. So, creating new stars could be done by bringing back TV-14. It's not the only thing. I'm not stupid enough to believe that. But it would allow the creativity and the creative juices to flow much more freely than in a very rigid PG environment. So, and again, I just can't underscore enough how important building stars is for a wrestling company, or really any industry whatsoever. Stars in any industry, not just wrestling. You go outside wrestling. What do stars do? Whether it's football, think of the biggest names ever. Even the ones that are currently still playing: Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Odell Beckham, Peyton Manning. Well, no, he's not playing anymore. I mean, just think about that. Think about when you have big stars on TV. You want to see the big stars. Or when you're watching a sport that doesn't have big stars and you want to see them, aren't you more interested when they're on the screen? Because they're the best of the best. It's the same philosophy in wrestling, even more so. especially in an environment that you control the outcome to. But building stars is not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. But you are creatively stifling your talent with the PG environment. Think about Stone Cold Steve Austin in the PG environment. It's laughable. He'd be a child. Really. I mean, his catchphrase would probably be like, "Give me a heck yeah." Really. I mean, if Stone Cold had come around at that time when the PG era was being implemented and WWE took it way too far, you know, he'd be, "Give me a heck yeah, pretty please." I mean, there was a time where it was just ridiculous, and they pulled back on that a little bit, obviously. So there are just times and places for everything, and I think that right now the environment that WWE's created, with the PG part of it too, is just suffocating stars and not allowing them to grow. And having a TV-14 environment, I think, would allow that. It would create more opportunities. You would have, yes, you would have some sponsors leave you, but you'd probably gain new sponsors as well. And people would have a renewed interest in the product. Not because you're taking a quick hit way out of just, well, we got to do a flash in the pan. Let's get people's eyeballs on the product, but not much is going to change other than the TV rating. No. No. Obviously, that would not happen. But my point is that this would be and could be the spark that WWE needs that has been missing to bring back TV-14. And I'm sure if WWE executives ever heard this, they'd probably be laughing. They'd be laughing. And that's fine. That's fine. But I remember a time and a place called the Attitude Era. And beyond the stars that were there, because the argument is again going to be, well, look at the lineup. Look at the stars. And I do agree that stars do make everything. But how did the stars get there? How were the stars made? How were they didn't just fall off the tree. How were they made? In an environment that encouraged creativity, didn't have 4,000 writers, allowed the envelope to be pushed, try new things, just give me bullet points, I'll figure out the rest. How were they created? Through a relaxed, yet driven, open, an aggressive environment. An aggressive in a way that's one that's, we're all working towards this same goal. I want to be better than you. That type of aggression, not hostility. I'm not talking about hostility. I'm talking about, let's all work towards the same goal of making this damn company as big as possible. Let's do this. And right now it's, oh, well, did you memorize your lines tonight? Yeah, I got them down. And that's what it feels like anyway. I don't have access backstage, but it feels like that at times. At times. And I wonder how many stars of today would be as big or approaching as big as some of the stars of the Attitude Era. I mean, say, take Becky Lynch, for example. I think she is one that's being suffocated by the current environment. And just, you can feel her wanting to lash out, but you know, she just is handcuffed by the environment of WWE and what they've created. But don't you wonder? Don't you wonder what stars would come out of an environment that WWE allows for creativity and input from the talent, not from a writer, from the talent? What kind of stars would be built? It's painful to think about sometimes. Over the last 11 years, since this PG environment has been implemented, how many stars they could have had the creativity been allowed to flow and the TV-14 environment remained. So, those are my thoughts on whether WWE should or should not implement, and what if they implemented the TV-14 rating again. Now, in conclusion, I will say the same thing I said in my introduction, and that is I don't believe WWE will ever go back to TV-14. I don't. It's a different time. They have forged way too many relationships with way too many organizations, many of them not for profit. And many of them have dumped a ton of money into WWE that it's not worth monetarily bringing down an organization, bringing down the cash of the organization, bringing down the revenue stream of that organization just to appease and maybe be able to expand and create an environment that is a much more creatively flowing and relaxed environment of TV-14. And allow new stars to build on the chance of new stars being built. It's just, and I, you know what, if I was sitting in that executive chair too, I'd probably say the same thing. As much as I just made it a case for wanting to see TV-14 again, and I think they're valid arguments, it's just not worth the risk because they've forged too many relationships and you would lose a lot of them for the potential of down the line creating mega stars. It's the potential of maybe. Well, maybe. I'm going to lose a lot of in the short term, but maybe we can create somebody as big as Stone Cold was or The Rock was. It's just not smart business. It's not. So I don't think it'll happen. They may get edgy at time. They may dip their toe and like straddle the fence of TVPG, and they've done that in the past. But they'll never jump full. You know, they'll never jump headfirst into TV-14 ever again. And you know, but guess what? We have YouTube and we have the WWE Network to go back to anytime we get that craving, that itch that you want to scratch, that you just want to see somebody get beaten to holy hell with a steel chair, or you want to see a little bit of blood, or you want to see, you know, some male and female violence when warranted. Got to make sure I have that little disclaimer. So, but you know, that's just something that I think we all feel from time to time, especially if you have gone through the Attitude Era. So many great memories. So many. I mean, I'm not advocating to duplicate the Attitude Era. You can't. But what you can do is move forward, and you can create an environment, change the environment, and change the culture. That's the control that WWE has. You can change the culture. It's going to take time, but I think it would be worth it. And in place of just slapping a new label on their programming, I think that would even be more beneficial to just create an environment backstage, even if you stay PG, create an environment backstage that encourages talent to speak up, encourages talent to contribute to what they want to do and see and be and feel, not just get handed a script when they walk into the arena and go, okay, memorize this. All right. Okay, cool. I'll see you later. See it, you know, when the show starts. I'm sure some talent do that. I'm sure they do. I'm sure not. I don't know how many, but I can guarantee you there are some. And just sit there and collect a paycheck and read their lines. But that's why you're seeing the ratings tank. They just don't know how to make stars in 2019. Or 2018. Or 2017. Or 2016. I mean, go back. Go back to the promo that CM Punk cut on Vince McMahon when he had his pipe bomb promo. It was a few weeks after that, and they're doing contract negotiations. And he said to Vince McMahon to his face, "You don't know how to create a star in 2011. It's brilliant. I mean, we fast forward 8 years, and we're still having that same conversation. So, all right. Well, guys, that is my TV-14 wrap-up, if WWE will ever do it, and the arguments for and against it. And again, I will be back with a Stomping Grounds review and a Raw review. It's going to be a big show. Big, big show on Tuesday. And then a SmackDown review on Wednesday. My co-host on Thursday. And that'll round out the week. Please give me a follow on Instagram, which I said Instagram. I'm there at WWE Podcast. I'm also on Twitter, which most of you know me by, at the WWE Podcast. And the new website, please give it a quick glance, if you are so inclined, at WWEpodcast.com. So, all right, well, that's all I got for you today, guys. As always, I'll talk to you next time.